Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
A girl, her loom, and what happens when confidence replaces fear? That is the story of Arachne. Well, at least as told by author Rebecca Caprera and her new book, Spin. But that is not the story of Arachne that most people know. Normally, she's a villain, one who had the temerity to take on a god. But not for Rebecca Caprera. She tells a new tale of the young weaver, one meant for a new young adult audience. Rebecca Caprera joins us now in Studio 2. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I just adored this book. And I just want you to start by telling us, if you could pick one word to describe this story, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. Feminist.
Why?
Maybe a second word would be brazen.
Why did you want to do that?
Yes. So when I rediscovered Ovid's version of the myth of Arachne, and I reread that story, I had chills because this young woman struck me, and her story struck me as being so relevant and so timely. This was, you know, in the midst of our current political landscape, in the midst of the Me Too movement, in terms of conversations about women's rights and bodily autonomy. And there was just so much about her being bold enough and strong enough to speak truth to power that resonated, even though it's an ancient tale. But the issue I took with all the iterations that I'd seen of her story was with the ending. And I felt like she deserved better. And I wanted to give her that opportunity to kind of speak her truth and tell her story as I envisioned it.
So tell us just very briefly the original version of the story.
Yeah, so Arachne is a young woman who is a weaver, a very accomplished weaver. And she, so she's often, like you said, framed as villainess or monster. And this story really wanted to unravel those portrayals of her, as well as illuminating some of the distorted portrayals of other women throughout classical mythology. And in the original, there is this showdown between Arachne and Athena, who is the goddess of weaving. And Athena demands that Arachne repent for her pride and her insolence.
Her pride in her talent.
Right, right, which is well earned, right? This is something that was not, there was no divine intervention. This is a skill that she learned. It was handed down by her mother and her grandmother, this craft of weaving. And she worked incredibly hard to achieve this skill. And so she is proud of it. And she refuses to back down. And so there is this confrontation. And in other versions of the story, you know, Arachne, there is a transformation, right? Even in my version, there is this shocking transformation, but I...
To?
A spider. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
We get to do that on
yes,
this show.
Yes. But I wanted her to have more agency.
Yeah.
Without giving away too much of this story. I wanted her to have more agency. I wanted the reader to understand what might make a young woman have that kind of composure and strength, you know, to stand up to a literal god. I mean, she's a young woman from very humble upbringing. So what did it take to get her there? And what was that backstory like?
And I want to point out, you know, we were sort of joking about the spoiler alert, but in two ways, it's not a spoiler alert. One, because Arachne and Arachnid, it's not hard to
right.
connect the
yes.
dots. And two, because it's not, as you say, it's not what happens to her in the end. It's the way it happens. That is everything. In this story.
Yes. And what she does with it after.
That's right. And when you talk about, you know, I asked you for one word, the first thing you said was feminist,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you talk about the fact that she is proud of what she can do and the gods are mad at her
right.
for being proud of what she can do, that really is striking. One of the themes that comes forward in the story over and over again, Rebecca, for example, when she asks for what her tapestries are worth mm-hmm. in the marketplace and people are shocked when she asks what her work is worth.
Right.
It is this idea that over history, women and women workers have been expected to expect less.
Yes, absolutely. There's that piece of it. I think even this idea of female pride and female rage, these were things that were really interesting to me. You know, why shouldn't she be proud of what she has accomplished? You know, why are we focusing all these narratives centering the heroic male counterparts in these stories and not celebrating the women who are perhaps equally talented in a different way? Yes, so
So I want to step to the side for a second. We're going to come back to the story itself in a minute, but I want to step to the side because I've read other books by you. Worst Case Colin, I absolutely adored. You decided to write this one in verse.
Yes.
And I don't know if scared me is right, but I'm like, can I do this whole
book in verse?
Poetry's
not scary, but I understand why people feel that way.
And I'm going to give it just a tiny bit of an example. This is from when Arachne is watching her mother weave before she even knows how. Row by row, an image emerges in the cloth, an emerald-leafed tree with a dark-haired girl swinging from its branches. Is that me? I ask, gazing at her creation with wonder. There is an ancientness to the form you've chosen that makes me feel like you're taking me back to that Greek story and then bringing it to me today.
I love that you picked up on that. So verse is obviously a format I feel comfortable with. I love poetry. I've written other books in this format, but this one is slightly different. It's free verse. And I felt like I loved the musical quality of it, which you're kind of mentioning, that lyricism that comes from the form. But I also wanted it to be a nod to the epic poetry of the past, right? The books and the sources that inspired me, you know, Homer, Sappho, Ovid, of course. And so it's sort of a fresh take on those poetic forms.
And it's interesting that you're doing that for young adults. Are young adults afraid of verse? I mean, in the YA fiction world, my understanding is verse is beginning to kind of place a little bit of center stage.
I hope so. I mean, I am a huge fan. I think Jason Reynolds, Elizabeth Acevedo, Kip Wilson, there are so many, Margarita Engel, I could go on and on about the sort of YA poets who are writing verse novels for young adults and middle grade readers. And I think it's very accessible. I think verse is beautiful for so many reasons, but it's not overwhelming on the page. Sometimes prose can feel heavy. I think there's so much breathing room and white space in a verse novel, and it allows me as an author to explore what might be deemed kind of heavier subject matter, because there's a lot of space for the reader to sort of sit with these ideas and kind of digest them and take them at their own pace.
We're talking with local author Rebecca Caprera about her newest book, Spin, which uses a verse form to retell, with a very modern take, the story of Arachne. And for those of you who are now thinking, wait, I didn't write down those author names. What were they? Don't worry, don't forget. You can find this conversation later at radioboston.org, and you will be able to hear all the authors that Rebecca was just recommending. I want to come back to the story now, because one of the things that I found myself thinking was, you must have studied weaving, because when Arachne weaves her first tapestry, and even more so when she weaves her last tapestry, your descriptions of how the colors come together and the types of thread and the dye, once again, something I didn't even think I cared about, and I can see it, I can smell it, I can feel it and touch it. Do you weave?
So this is sort of interesting. I love that you connected to those scenes, I have to say, because when I pitched this novel and I'm like, yeah, the climax is a weaving competition, people look at me like, okay, that's about as exciting as watching paint dry. But it is. It's so exciting. And in even Ovid's version, there's like these scintillating details and they use the vocabulary of war. And but to go to your question, I have a background in fiber arts. Many, many years ago, when I was in high school, I was a historical interpreter at Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts, where I dressed and acted like a girl from the 1830s, which is obviously a different time period. So I learned to weave on a different sort of loom than Arachne would have. But I was carding wool and dyeing, you know, fabric and spinning.
So you do know.
I do know. It's been a long time, but I think that interest was sort of seated deep within me. And then it was fun to revisit this. And I also, what was fascinating in the research portion of this project was looking into the sort of the ancient dye methods. Her father, Arachne's father, is a dyer of purple. And the process to get that color is fascinating. And, you know, there's a line in the book that says violet begins with violence. And it's really interesting.
So the other thing that strikes me about this, and this is hard content for the next minute or so, I want our listeners to know, the power of her loom is to tell the truth.
Yes.
To tell stories of rape, to tell stories of sexual assault and victimization that have been either swept under or retold as if everything's okay.
Yes. Yes. And I think for this character, I mean, she's illiterate, right? She can't read or write, but she finds, not only does she seek solace in the loom, she has a very hard upbringing, but she finds her strength and her voice through the craft of weaving. And in this confrontation with Athena, I think she's sold short in some other versions, you know, it's not just about her ego. Yes, she's proud, and I think she deserves to be proud, but she recognizes that this moment is an opportunity to speak out. The entire city has gathered to watch a mortal essentially duel with a goddess, and she realizes that this is her moment to kind of speak truth to power, to illuminate some of the injustices that have been inflicted upon her, upon the people that she loves, and upon the women and nymphs and goddesses that appear in these stories that have been handed down to her by her mother, and, you know, that she's heard the bards sing in the square. And so she does. She uses this. You know, I thought a lot about the Kavanaugh hearings when I was writing this. It channeled a lot of
Supreme Court nominee.
Yes, and Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, and thinking about that composure and taking that moment and speaking from a place of pain and trauma, and just the fortitude and respect I have for people who are able to do that, including Arachne.
Just very briefly.
Yes.
Do you wish somebody had told you this story this way when you were a young adult?
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I'm only one voice of many. There's so many wonderful authors writing these retellings. That would be a whole nother segment.
Which maybe at some point we should do.
Yes.
All right. Local author Rebecca Caprera. The new book is Spin. It is out now. It is worth a look. Rebecca, thank you so much
for
the book.
Thank you so much.
And for being here.
Absolutely. My pleasure.